ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text 64. Sanar ato taya vimnijya lochane. Mukundam udvikshya vinamra kandara. Kritanjali prasraya van samahita. Save patur gad gadayai late laya. Okay, fine. Shanai, gradually. Atha, then. Uthaya, rising. Vimrijya, wiping. Lochane, his two eyes. Mukundam, at Mukunda, Lord Sri Krishna. Udvikshya, looking up. Vinamrakandara, his neck bent. Krita Anjali, with folded hands. Prashrayavan, very humble. Samahita, his mind concentrated. Save Patu, his body trembling. Gadgadaya, faltering. Ailata, Brahma began to offer praise. Ilaya, with words. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Then, rising very gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated, and his body trembling, very humbly began, with faltering words, to offer praises to Lord Krishna. Purport. Brahma, being very joyful, began to shed tears, and he washed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears. Repeatedly he fell and rose as he recalled the wonderful activities of the Lord. After repeating obeisances for a long time, Brahma stood up and smeared his hands over his eyes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word lochane indicates that with his two hands, he wiped the two eyes on each of his four faces. Seeing the Lord before him, Brahma began to offer prayers with great humility, respect, and attention. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Stealing of the Boys and Calves by Brahma. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavari Paschati Desatarine Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is the last verse of the 13th chapter, and it's the last verse that Srila Prabhupada personally purported. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he was in Bombay. He had come back hoping to open the temple before he left this world. But because it would take a few more months, on October 1st, Srila Prabhupada decided to return to Vrindavan and prepare to leave this world. October 2nd, he arrived. He refused to eat or drink. He simply wanted to drink the nectarian kirtan of Hare Krishna. And later, on October 9th, Prabhupada incorporated, along with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Panchatattva Mantra, Prabhupada began incorporating the prayers of Lord Brahma from Brahma Sangita, Chintamani, Premanjana, Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Advaita Machutam, Anadi Manantarutam, Ramadi Murti Shu Kalani Amena Tishtan. Prabhupada had particular slokas from the Brahma Sangita that he wanted to hear along with the holy names. So this was what Prabhupada was drinking and eating, the holy names of the Lord and the prayers of Lord Brahma. Now, in this particular pastime, Brahma is in the mood of a servant. According to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's the Priti Rasa, that's the servant, just like our names when we receive Diksha. At the end of a name of either the Lord or his devotees, the spiritual master puts the word Das or Dasi. Because from the mood of appreciation of the Supreme Lord, upon taking shelter of a pure devotee, then we take Diksha, and then we have the opportunity to learn the process of devotional service or bhakti yoga. So this is Pritiras, the servants. Now Brahma, in this pastime, acting as a servant, there are different categories of servants. And Brahma here, he is in the Adikrita category. He is an appointed officer of the Supreme Lord to perform a particular duty, and that duty was the creation of the different living entities to fill this universe. There are other pastimes where Brahma manifests different rasas with the Lord. For instance, in the Brahma Sangita, we know that the Lord manifested, Narayan manifested from his navel a beautiful lotus. Within that lotus, Brahma appeared. He knew that from his previous predilections, he wanted to create, but he had no idea how to create or what to create. So then he heard the sound vibration, tapa. He satisfied the Lord with his tapasya for 1,000 years. And then the Lord very kindly manifested himself because he was chanting the Gayatri Mantra, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Balabhaya Swaha. From meditating on that mantra, the Lord gave him personal darshan. And he had the realization, this is verse 28, just before the Lord begins his prayers to the Lord in verse 29, Chintamani Prakara. He realizes at that time when he sees the Lord that he is an eternal maidservant of the Supreme Lord. He had that realization by chanting that mantra, but he did not have the confidential knowledge of how one serves the Lord in the mood of a maidservant. So in that particular incident, Lord Brahma, he manifested his relationship as a maidservant to the Lord. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, again, Lord Brahma, he was praying to the Lord for the power to execute his orders, the Lord's orders to create. At that time, the Lord became very pleased with his tapasya and his prayers. And in the mood of friendship, he touched him with his hand. In some places, it says he even shook his hand. And very lovingly, in a mood of friendship, the Lord accepted Lord Brahma's service and prayers. So we have now three different rasas that Lord Brahma manifests to the Supreme Lord. Also, later we'll read in chapter 33, when Lord Krishna manifested his rasa lila, all the demigods from above the moon, they clouded up the whole sky with their airplanes because they wanted to have darshan of this beautiful pastime. Now, the demigods, because they're all adikrita, appointed officers, they came to see the dancing. They could not understand the confidential aspect of the rasa lila. And therefore, they only saw Krishna dancing, and they didn't see Krishna enacting with the gopis. So this is the mood of the servants. They appreciate the Supreme Lord, and they want to execute their service to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he ended his translations at this point, but he didn't stop here. What is not known publicly is Prabhupada continued on to chapter 14. And between October 27th and October 30th, Prabhupada gave us the summary introduction to chapter 14. He described in summary the prayers that Lord Brahma offered to Lord Krishna. Now Krishna, he was playing the part of a little boy. And in this particular sloka that we're studying today, there are many vibhavs, there are many counter emotions that are being expressed without control. Lord Brahma, he is manifesting his ecstatic love to the Supreme Lord. Some of them are, he was rising and falling because he had anxiety, he had fear because he had offended the Supreme Lord by disturbing his pastimes. He was perplexed, he was stunned, he was falling down on the ground and not being able to get up again, rising and falling down again, rising and falling down again. Actually, these are all ecstatic symptoms that are manifest when love becomes so overwhelming you can't even control what your body is doing. So this is the mood that Lord Brahma was about to offer his prayers in. For instance, Vinamra Kandara. So that means he was feeling that afraid because of his offense to the Supreme Lord, trying to show off his maya in front of his superior, the person who created him. So his shoulders went all the way down. Not just down, like when we're offering obeisance, all the way down. And then it has here, Savepatu. His body was trembling. Just like when we sing in the morning about the spiritual master, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita, Baditra Madhyan Manasora Sena, Romancha Kampashru Taranga Bajo, Vande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. So these are the symptoms of ecstatic love. When the hair is standing on end, the body is shivering, and also at night, we sing the Gaura Arti. In Gaura Arti, Lord Brahma is offering the Arti, and the other demigods, well, Sukadev, Lord Shiva, and the others, they are Gadgada, just like mentioned here, Gadgadgaya. With faltering voices, they're offering prayers to the Lord. So all of these symptoms are manifest by the devotees of the Lord when they have expressed love for the Lord. And this all at once was being manifest in Brahma's body, this faltering of the voice. Now it goes on to say, Ilata Ilaya. Now Ila is a name of Saraswati. She's the goddess of speech. And Lord Brahma, he wanted to offer prayers. And Saraswati, that's why it's from Ila comes Ailata. With the assistance of Saraswati, he was going to begin his prayers. But actually, just like when we have this faltering of the voice, it's like stuttering, gadgada. So Ailata also means Aita. Aita means to praise the Lord. But because of stuttering, Sukadeva Goswami, experiencing this ecstatic prema of Brahma, he started to stutter, and he also said Ailata. So that's another way to see one of the words in this verse. Now Brahma, he was, in the next chapter, after we read tomorrow the summary study, he was offering very beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. And because Brahma, he is the chief of our sampradaya, these prayers are very important for us. And Lord Chaitanya, he took the prayers to be the summum bodum. When he discovered, when he went down south and he discovered he could only find the fifth chapter of the Brahma Sangita, he took that, had copies of it made, and he had all of his devotees chant the Brahma Sangita prayers. Now, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we know that Lord Chaitanya, he gave his mercy to the guru of all the Mayavadis, that was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was teaching the Mayavadi sannyasis Mayavad philosophy. But by the touch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, he became a devotee. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he took one of the slokas from this 14th chapter, a very famous one that Prabhupada often quoted, Tatenu Kampa, it starts like that, that whatever suffering I'm experiencing, it's simply a result of my own sinful activities. But I am simply remembering your mercy, and I know that you will definitely protect me and uplift me. So at the end of that particular sloka, there's a word, muktipada. Just like here in this sloka, Krishna is addressed as Mukunda. Mukunda has several meanings, but according to Lord Chaitanya, the primary meaning is the giver of liberation, which is the same as Muktipada, one who receives liberation at the lotus feet of the Lord. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being a great scholar, he took that verse and he removed the word Muktipada and he put the word Bhaktipada. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him singing this verse, he stopped him. He said, you can't change the words in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, no, I'm changing it. Because when we come in contact with the Supreme Lord and his devotional service, we hate bhakti, we hate mukti, and we fear mukti. Now, there are five types of mukti. We know that. Four of them are acceptable by the devotees so that they can do devotional service to the Lord. That is the Salokya, Samipya, Sarshti, and Sarupya. Just to be able to do service, although the devotees don't want liberation, they're willing to accept those different types of liberation. But Sayujya, there are two types of Sayujya. One is the Mayavadi Sayujya, where they merge into in Brahmalok and in Siddhalok, all the living entities are simply like little sparks in the Brahma Jyoti. So the Mayavadis aspire for that. And the yogis who follow Patanjali's yoga system, they recognize the Supreme Lord, but they want to merge into the Supreme Lord's body. Now, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he says that both of these type of liberation are just like hell. The devotee, he hates to think of that type, those types of liberation, because they only want to serve the Lord. In any of the four types of liberation, or no liberation whatsoever. When Prabhupada was lying on his bed, it was just after he had begun translating again, it was around October 9th, he just started again, picked up where he left off. One devotee came from France, and he gave the news that in 1 week, 25,000 big books were distributed in France. And Prabhupada was so happy to hear that. He said, "We don't care about liberation. We simply want to serve the desire of the Goswamis, and we want just to continue in this lifetime. We don't care about the cessation of birth and death." So this was Srila Prabhupada's mood. He was not interested in awarding us with this muktipada, with this liberation. Simply to carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord and the orders of the six Goswamis to preach Krishna consciousness, we don't mind taking birth again and again. Now, when Srila Prabhupada finally, in the very last days, there was about the last 2 weeks, he was not able to translate anymore after giving the summary. When he finally entered into the spiritual realm to be with Krishna again in the spiritual world, because his last desire was to take parikrama of Govardhan, the devotees, they decided to take one small murti of Prabhupada and bring him on that Govardhan parikrama. Now the devotees, the entourage of Prabhupada, had been with him by that time for many months, not doing anything else but tending to Srila Prabhupada's personal needs. When they took that murti of Prabhupada to Govardhan, and they were doing Govardhan parikrama, they then realized that Srila Prabhupada, he has entered Goloka Vrindavan, and now we're bringing Prabhupada here to Govardhan. And because for so many months they had been serving Prabhupada hand and foot, they realized that by that personal association with Srila Prabhupada serving him, they now were able to see Govardhan. And just as Lord Brahma, he had seen the trees, he had seen all the different opulences of Vrindavan after Krishna removed the manifestation of all of his opulence, then Brahma could see Vrindavan. So this is exactly what happened to the devotees. Because of this intense service to Srila Prabhupada, when they did that parikrama of Govardhan, they felt that they were actually entering in to Goloka Vrindavan just as Srila Prabhupada had done. They could see the beauty of the trees, and they could just envision Krishna wandering in Govardhan with all the cowherd boys and cows. Now, there's a question, because Lord Brahma, he came to Vrindavan, and all of these pastimes happened in the forest of Vrindavan. In the beginning, Krishna was still a young boy in the Kumara age. Kumara means lalana, lalana palana, when you're being protected by the mother, by the parents. He started out, we know, in Gokul. And one day the gopis were speaking, this is described by Raghunath Das Goswami. They were saying, "Why did Krishna leave Gokul? Why did he come here to this dense forest of Vrindavan where nobody's inhabiting, you know, just wild animals here, no homes, nothing? Why did they leave their beautiful place in Gokul?" And Radharani explained that the reason he left was because Gokul was practically like a town. There were so many people there. And all of the mischief and all the crimes and all the naughtiness that he wanted to manifest in his pastimes, he couldn't do in Gokul. He needed a dense, dark forest to do all this mischief. And that was the real reason why he came to Vrindavan, because it was just a dense, dark forest at that time. Now, when the Ladies of Gokul used to complain to Mother Yashoda that he did this, he did that, all the naughty things that he did. Mother Yashoda would stop everything that she was doing and sit down and enjoy listening to all the naughty things that Krishna did. So who can understand a god like this? That the devotees sit down and listen to all of his naughty activities. But Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita that anyone who understands and hears these naughty activities, then he will attain the perfection of life and go back to Godhead. So every day we're listening to these pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Now when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was arguing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that no, it should be Bhaktipad, not Muktipad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained that Mukti, they're different in Sanskrit, they're different subjects. Just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, we have different subjects. The ninth subject, which is the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's called Mukti. So Mukti is also considered the ninth subject. Because in the ninth canto, we read about all of the devotees, the kings, everyone who attained Mukti. And when after attaining Mukti, then we come to the Summum Bodham, which is the 10th canto, the 10th subject, which is what we're having the opportunity to study now. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, this Mukti is very important and we should not change it. And also this Mukti, because Krishna is Mukunda, that's one of his qualities, that he gives Mukti to the devotees so they can render service to him. Now, in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada being right at his house, everything that was going on here in the temple could be heard by Prabhupada. First of all, he said, don't use loud speakers. He did not want loud speakers for the kirtan. We would have to run and tell the devotees, turn off the loud speakers. And then he would hear the arti bells, he would hear the conch shells, he would hear the kirtans. Prabhupada, though he couldn't always visit the temple because of his weakness, he was constantly absorbed in the sound vibrations and the activities that were going on in the temple. And that's also how we should mold our lives. The center of our lives here in Vrindavan is the worship of the deities. And Prabhupada explained that the pujaris, they're the most fortunate because they're engaged in the direct service of the Lord. He said, this material birth is just pap and punya, nothing more. But when we serve the deities and when we meditate on their pastimes, that's Radha Krishna. So this is, we're not interested in our pap, we're not interested in punya either. We're simply interested in engaging in devotional service as Prabhupada gave us here in Vrindavan. So we have Vrindavan, and we know that Vrindavan is the forest of Vrinda. So they were arguing with Krishna, the gopis, that actually this is not your van, your forest. You've come here from an outside place. You're an outsider. This forest belongs to Vrindadevi. And Krishna, he countered back. He said, no, Vrindavan, that's an external name. Just as we have here in the Puranas, which are the Smriti, we hear about Vrindavan. But in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, Upanishad is a Shruti, this forest is called Krishnavan. And the gopis, they countered back. The only reason this forest is called Krishnavan is because it's dark and dense. But the real name is Vrindavan. And besides, everyone knows that Srimati Radharani, she is the queen of Vrindavan. So you don't have anything to do with this forest, actually. You've come from another place. So one day, Krishna wanted to decorate his cows, and he went to the gopis. The gopis were stringing beautiful pearls to decorate themselves, to decorate their homes. And Krishna asked the gopis, I want a few pearls to decorate my favorite cows. And the gopis wouldn't give them any. So he decided, because we know the quality of this Brajraj. When Prabhupada was here, a devotee asked about the qualities of Vrindavan. First of all, he said that anything you desire, you simply have to pray to the dust of Vrindavan. And he explained that all of the trees and all of the birds in Vrindavan, where we live, are already back to Godhead. They're already engaged in their direct devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So we don't know who we're dealing with. The trees and the birds are already back to Godhead. So Krishna asked his mother for pearls. He planted those pearls, and by the potency of the Brajraj, beautiful pearl plants grew. And from these pearl plants, beautiful multicolored pearls manifested. Now the gopis, they decided if Krishna can do it, we can do it too. So they took all the pearls from their houses, planted the pearls, and the only thing that came up was sticker bushes. So then they were in big trouble. What were they going to do? So they realized they were going to have to purchase some pearls from Krishna because he had so many pearls. When Krishna refused to even give them one broken pearl, then they had to use diplomacy. They said, actually, you're just a cultivator on our land. So you have to pay us taxes. So we will take 5/6 of your product, the pearls, and you can keep 1/6, because that's what you're supposed to do when you're a cultivator. You only keep 1/6 of what you've cultivated. So Krishna couldn't counter that because he had come from another place. So he just decided to attack them all. So because when you can't, by logic, if you can't defeat someone, you simply attack them and they run away. Finally, they came to an agreement. But the thing that we learn from these pastimes is the beautiful, eternal quality of Vrindavan. All of these pastimes are still going on, but we don't have the eyes to see them. But by chanting Hare Krishna, and by hearing the beautiful prayers of Lord Brahma, in the coming chapter, in the Brahma Sangita, and in the Canto 2, when Brahma offers prayers, we, because he's the leader of our sampradaya, we can begin to understand the transcendental nature of the spiritual world, and by the grace of our Guru, just as Srila Prabhupada gave that transcendental vision, we can also see this beautiful land of Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Scared, yes, perplexed, everything.
But Prabhupada writes that he is feeling joy.
Well, because when Krishna saw that Brahma was so perplexed and stunned, he removed the Maya, his Maya, because his Maya was much stronger than Brahma's Maya, and he applied his Yoga Maya. The difference between Maya and Yoga Maya is Maya means when you don't recognize the Supreme Lord at all. And Yoga Maya gives a partial manifestation of the Supreme Lord and a partial covering of the Supreme Lord. So he was joyful because at that time, at this time, during this verse, Krishna had applied his Yoga Maya onto Brahma. So he could understand that this little boy is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I have interfered with his pastimes. So he was so joyful to have that vision of this, of Krishna as a Supreme Lord, and therefore he began to offer prayers. It was Krishna changing his maya from his maya to the yoga maya, so Brahma could appreciate Krishna's appearance. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you very much for such a wonderful class. I have a question that Srila Prabhupada, the disciples who went to Govardhan, the close associates of Srila Prabhupada during his last days, they had the great fortune of serving him. But serving a great soul is like very rare opportunity. And if we don't get it in this lifetime, then how to realize Vrindavan?
Prabhupada is right. You see his samadhi? Prabhupada is sitting right here, Prabhupada is here, Prabhupada is here, Prabhupada is in his house. Prabhupada is everywhere in Vrindavan. This is his home. Vrindavan is my home.
We can realize Vrindavan by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books.
Yes. Thank you. Any more questions? Yes, please. Not always. There was one disciple of Prabhupada who was Prabhupada's secretary, Harikesh. And he asked the same question because sometimes they capture the monkeys and they ship them abroad and they remove the sex organs of the monkeys and attach them to old men who still want to enjoy. So there are three different types of Brijbasis: those who are born here, those who serve here, and those who die here. So those who are born here, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go back to Godhead. It's what the service they're performing in this lifetime that will either keep them here, or due to past pop or whatever it was, they might be forced to leave. We have had so many babies born here, but where are they now? So just being born here doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily go back to Godhead. The animals, the pigs, it's the hogs, the dogs, and the monkeys, they get liberation after that particular birth. Involuntarily, they committed a sinful activity in their previous life, here in Vrindavan. So by the special mercy of Radha and Krishna, they can take birth as hogs, dogs, or monkeys. They suffer a lot in that birth, and then they get liberation from their sinful activities, right? It doesn't mean directly going back to Godhead, because even a devotee who's living in Vrindavan, serving in Vrindavan, dying in Vrindavan, they don't go directly back to Godhead. There's an interim birth where they go to the universe where Krishna is manifesting his pastimes. And by associating with the Nitya Siddhas, they learn more about preparing to go back to Godhead. So there's no guarantee of direct back to Godhead, even if you take birth here.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yes. First persons who are living just like a Brijbasis and they are not following the, most of them they are talking the intoxication, one of just like smoking and something. So he have brought effect.
Well, Lord Chaitanya recommended that we not associate with the residents of Vrindavan for that reason. We're on the sadhana level. We must follow the four regulative principles. Those are the vows that we've taken. So you should avoid association with persons who are not following the four regulative principles. And not only that, nobody here is a Brijbasi. All the Brijbasis went back to Godhead with Krishna. And then when Vajranava Maharaj came here, he brought people from outside to live here. There were no people when Vajranava Maharaj came here. They had all gone back to Godhead with Krishna on his chariot. So they'll claim to be Brijbasis, but nobody is an original, genuine Brijbasi here.
Okay? Hare Krishna. You were speaking about that Brahma was disturbing Lord Krishna.
Yes.
But in further, we see that Lord Krishna wanted to satisfy the Vrindavan devotees by feeding them with bhaks and
Yes, that was one of the purposes. That was one of the purposes for this pastime, to satisfy all of the mothers, both the human mothers and the cow mothers. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. The reference for that is verse number 28 in the Brahma Sangita, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's purport. Okay?
That means we can actually think that Brahma Ji is eternally a gopi.
Well, of the three different rasas that are described in the Shastras, as maidservant, as friend, and as servant, all three are described. At no place is it said that these three are described, but actually he was this. So.
Can I have one comment?
Yes.
That the genuine Brijavasi that we should follow is Srila Prabhupada in
yes.
his footsteps.
Yes.
They will become Brijavasi as well.
That's right.
And also, following in his footsteps means distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and propagating the chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you for your most wonderful class as usual. I was very grateful to hear when you said, I knew this detail that Prabhupada also gave the summary for the 14th chapter.
Yes.
Just, I never knew this.
Right.
And so thank you for that. And I wanted to ask that after Prabhupada stopped giving the purports and the summary, was he still speaking, and did he actually leave some instructions for the disciples who did then further on do the purpose? Did he say anything specifically to them?
Yes, he did. Even when Prabhupada was doing these last purports, when Prabhupada used to do his translations and purports, he would lock the door, nobody would be with him, he would only be with his dictaphone. In the middle of the night. Nobody could disturb him. But in the situation when he was this last month in October, it was open. There were many devotees surrounding his bed, and he had Pradyumna speaking the word-for-word translations of each sloka, and he had Jayadvaita reading the Krishna book. Because when Prabhupada translated the Krishna book, that is the exact replica of Srimad Bhagavatam as we're getting it. If you compare every single verse, you'll find them to be the same. So That same principle we'll read in the coming up chapter, because it was the first chapter that the disciples of Prabhupada did on their own. Again and again, they will quote from Krishna book. Srila Prabhupada says in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada quote, you know, like that. So everything was there for the entire 10th canto that Prabhupada gave us in the Krishna book. Also, many of the slokas are pre-translated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because many of these slokas also appear in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. And because he had been training Pradyumna and others in his Sanskrit department for several years, he felt that they were equipped. Now, I was in the Sanskrit department, I know that the word for word translations that we get, they were done by Prabhupada's editors. And then Prabhupada, he would speak the purports. Translations also. Now, all of those translations and purports were coming from the big books that you'll see in Prabhupada's house, with the tikkas there, about six different tikkas of the previous acharyas. So the devotees in the Sanskrit department who knew Sanskrit, who knew Bengali, they simply had to read those purports just as Prabhupada did, and add according to time and circumstance to create the purports for the forthcoming Srimad Bhagavatam cantos. So the system was already there, it was already known by the devotees in the Sanskrit department how Prabhupada was doing it. And it took a long time for them to finally start, as we said in the last class, just to print this 13th chapter took them 3 years. And then after that, they started 14th and onwards. So it's not that they immediately jumped into it. They very, very carefully and cautiously began the translation work by qualified disciples who had already been doing that work for Prabhupada in the Sanskrit department.
Mataji, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I am so grateful to you for revealing such intimate details of Srila Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan. We don't know, we came recently to Vrindavan, but you're opening this. You are very qualified Srila Prabhupada's, one of the Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who can open to us the door to the spiritual world.
All I did was, I read Tamal Krishna Maharaj's diary and Bhakti Charaswami's diary, so it's available for anyone.
And my question is, Prabhupada, when he was dying in his room, he said, "Don't think that this will not happen with you."
Yes.
And Srila Prabhupada's body, it already was a spiritual body, it was not the physical body. But he was feeling the pain, all his veins goes out, and he was suffering a lot.
No.
He said, "Don't think that this will not happen with you."
No, when they asked Prabhupada, "Are you feeling pain?" he said, "It's all mental." So we shouldn't think that Prabhupada was suffering like an ordinary human being would be suffering.
Because we are not on the stage like Srila Prabhupada, and we have fear of death. Everybody has in different degree. And I want to tell you, just ask, is Srila Prabhupada giving us a lesson how to die? And if by dying in Vrindavan, we will go to the spiritual world? About him talk already, taking birth in Vrindavan is not guaranteed. Not guaranteed that you will go into spiritual world. And who serve here, maybe they will go as a degree of their service. But who dies here, he will certainly go to the spiritual world.
According to Mathura Mahatmya, you go to the spiritual world, but there's always an interim birth in between. Okay?
But there is some exceptions when people just going directly from
by dying here in Vrindavan, they're going directly to spiritual world.
Well, the Nityasiddhas go directly back to the spiritual world because they came with Krishna, so they're just going back to their positions there. But we as sadhana bhaktis, we have a long way to go.
But sadhana gopis, they're dancing with Krishna on the Rasa dance on Sharad Purnima. They came out of our sadhana bhakti, from Vaini bhakti, they elevated to the state to dancing with Krishna.
What do you want to know?
I want to know, by dying in Vrindavan, I will go directly to the Lord Vrindavan?
No. Okay?
Because it's too much in the places to go.
Okay. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, the original inhabitants we're talking, they went away, they were taken away. The original inhabitants of Braj.
Yes.
They were not there.
Right.
Mataji, if I can compare, just to clear my doubt, like in Ganga, in Ganges, whatever water comes in later on also becomes Ganga. Ganga water. There's no differentiation, there's no distinction. So the potency of the Dham, even those who have come later and have been staying here for generations, will the potency of the Dham not award them the status of original Brajvasis as well? I'm talking the current scenario.
Srila Prabhupada, when he was here at that time in October, he said one thing, that all of the inhabitants of Vrindavan are devotees. Okay? Is that good enough?
I mean, we have to consider them at not at an ordinary level, and great respect.
He said that much. They're all devotees. Anyone inhabiting Vrindavan is a devotee. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.